Good morning. Our Hebrew Bible lesson this morning is from Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 14, and it can be found on your pew Bible on page 17, and in large print is on page 21. After these things, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I shall show you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. He cut wood for the burnt offering and set out and went to the place in the distance that God had shown him. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place far away. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So the two of them walked on together. Isaac said to his father Abraham, Father, and he said, Here I am, son. He said, The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So the two of them walked on together. When they came to the place that God had shown him, Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to kill his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to harm him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. And Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, The Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, on the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now for our responsive psalm, if you turn in your hymnal back to page 746, we will read Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with me.
Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 12 through 23. It can be found on page 146 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible, or on page 190 in the large print edition. Therefore, do not let sin exercise dominion in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. No longer present your members to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Should we sin because we are not under law but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you, having once been slaves of sin, have become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you now are ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As we have and as we will for many months, let us now turn to the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Matthew 10, verses 40 through 42, page 10 of the New Testament in your Pew Bible, and page 13 in the large print edition. Sort of a final bit of advice, not final, anyway, a sort of concluding bit of advice from Jesus Christ. And let me ask you to rise as you are able and willing to hear the word of God. This from Jesus himself. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I think I have more voice in my head than in my throat, so I'll try to give you what I got. When you think in general terms about coming to a Christian worship service here at our church, you might not expect to confront some of these issues that we heard about today. Who would think that in the Holy Bible, this living testament to God's love and the work of Jesus Christ, you would encounter ritual child sacrifice and slavery? And who would think in our United Methodist arm of the Church of Jesus Christ Universal that we would also have to contend with issues like our response to same-sex marriage in our society and the painful aftermath of the Sand Creek Massacre? Well, it's true. Christian people in the 21st century must consider and wrestle with some difficult issues as they respond in faith to the good news of Jesus Christ. The Bible itself includes many commands from God that are in themselves difficult and challenging, and yet we must meet these commandments head on. But it is also true that you need not do this alone. Christianity is not at all a solo endeavor. Remember what Jesus said about this? For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them. It's also true that you cannot adequately wrestle with the meaning of Scripture by listening to only one voice. That's why John Wesley was so strong on Christian conferencing and on the value of small groups for study and discernment and accountability. And so, because you ought not to rely on only one voice, I ask you today to listen to me pose some important questions, and then you will need to consider and work on these ideas with other discerning Christians. And so let us today think about the title of this sermon and the Romans passage from which the title comes, Slaves to Righteousness. When you think about slaves and slavery, what comes immediately to mind? If you're like me, probably the long and brutal history of this country when human beings, mostly from Africa, innocent men and women and children were bought and sold as mere property. This notion is repugnant to most of us. Slavery is a horrible offense against basic human rights. But we must acknowledge that slavery did exist in a somewhat different form in the Roman Empire of Jesus' time. It surely existed in these United States in the 18th and 19th centuries, and it still exists today in some parts of the world. And I admit, the idea of slavery is hard to hear and hard to consider, but it is valuable for us as present-day Christians to understand and wrestle with these passages. For our purposes, I'm asking you to separate out one small part of the institution of slavery, and that is this. When a person was abducted and forced into slavery, it was surely against his or her will. It was against their will. Listen again to the question that Paul poses in Romans. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are the slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? What does that mean to you, to be a slave of sin? Again, some difficult ideas and some difficult questions. I wonder, are any of us here this morning addicted to any substances? Take a long, hard look at yourself. Are you, in fact, addicted to alcohol or to marijuana or some other drug? Are you addicted to pornography or to money or to working or to sex? Maybe you wouldn't go as far as call it an addiction, but in your most honest moments, do you find yourselves dependent upon some of these sins? Are you dependent upon your smartphone or your computer or your gaming system, or your television? Do you find yourself turning too often to anger, or impatience, or criticism, or gossip? Have you ever found yourself to be a slave to one or more of these sins of omission, or these sins of commission? I wonder if you've ever felt like me, like Paul, as he questions himself a bit further along in Romans. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. Clearly, Paul felt as though he was certainly a slave to sin, and that he was being held against his will. Does this sound familiar to you? No. Perhaps I should ask that in a different but more realistic way. Doesn't this sound familiar to all of us? Aren't we all slaves to sin in one form or another? Well, what then is the alternative that Paul suggests? Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But what does that mean, to be a slave to obedience? Well, Paul explains it this way. No longer present your members, that is, your body, don't present yourself to sin as instruments of wickedness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and present your members, your body, to God as an instrument of righteousness. But how does that sound to you, to be a slave to obedience? To be, as Paul says, enslaved to God. How does that sound? Well, you might respond in the same way that you responded to the idea of being a slave to sin. God has given you free will. Isn't that what the Bible says? Why would you voluntarily give up yourself and become a slave to Christ? Doesn't that go against your will as much as being a slave to sin goes against your will? I was reminded this week of a wonderful quote from C.S. Lewis about what it means to lose yourself. And Lewis says this, "Your real new self, which is Christ's self and also yours, and yours just because it is His, will not come along as long as you're looking for it. It will come when you're looking for Him." Does that sound strange? The same principle holds, you know, for more everyday matters. Even in social life, you will never make a good impression on other people until you stop thinking about what sort of impression you are making. Even in literature and art, no man who bothers about originality will ever be original, whereas if you simply try to tell the truth without caring tuppence how often it has been told before, you will, 9 times out of 10, become original without ever having noticed it. The principle runs through all life from top to bottom. Give up yourself and you will find your real self. Lose your life and you will save it. Does that sound familiar? Submit to death, death of your ambitions, death of your favorite wishes every day, and death of your whole body. In the end, submit with every fiber of your being and you will find eternal life. Keep back nothing. Nothing that you have not given away will be really yours. Nothing in you that has not died will ever be raised from the dead. Look for yourself, and you will find in the long run only hatred, loneliness, despair, rage, ruin, and decay. But look for Christ, and you will find Him, and with Him, everything else thrown in. When you look for Christ and become a slave to obedience and a slave to righteousness and a slave to God, you will indeed go against your will. Absolutely against your will. That's how it works. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Sound familiar? But consider the eventuality when God's will is your will. Can you imagine what it felt like to Abraham when he heard God's command? God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains that I will show you. Don't you believe that in following God's command to kill his son as a sacrifice, that Abraham was responding in obedience that was completely against Abraham's will? How would you have responded? But thanks be to God, Paul reminds us, that you, having once been slaves of sin, had become obedient from the heart to the form of teaching to which you were entrusted, and that you, having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to greater and greater iniquity, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness for sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. So what advantage did you then get from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been freed from sin and enslaved to God, the advantage you get is sanctification. You are being made saintly. The end is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. My sisters and brothers, many of the lessons from the Bible are simple, but that doesn't mean that they are easy. You cannot cherry pick the Bible passages you like and then ignore God's commands that are challenging. And you cannot be a Christian alone. You have a choice to make. Will you give up yourself and find your new and real self in Jesus Christ? Will you be a slave to sin? Or will you be a slave to obedience, a slave to righteousness, a slave to God? Consider the consequences and the rewards. Amen.